Can you hear me? We good? How's everyone doing? All right? Last session, first day. So far, so good? All right, hopefully we keep it that way. So I'm going to go ahead and get this timer started. All right. Well, thanks everyone for coming out to our session this afternoon. My name is Chris Bortlick. I am going to give us a quick overview of the session, introduce my co-presenters. So we're here today to talk about cross-farm services with SharePoint 2013. We're going to talk a bit about who we are. We're going to talk a little bit about why would you do this, so what problem are we trying to solve. We'll do a little bit of a primer on SharePoint 2013 social. I know a lot of you were in the keynote. Anyone not go to the keynote this morning? All right, anyone that's lying? No. All right, so most of you have seen a lot of the social stuff, so we're not going to beat you to death with the social demo, but we did want to do a little bit of level setting on some of the capabilities that we're seeing customers wanting to leverage within 2013 while keeping a lot of their content still in 2010. We'll talk about what the cross-farm services are and how to leverage them. We'll talk about a proposed architecture, a reference architecture, if you would, based on a customer we worked on together. We'll do an obligatory demo of how to actually set this all up. This is a 300-level IT pro session, so if you're afraid of PowerShell, if you're afraid of central admin, you're afraid of VMs, this is probably not the right room for you. We're going to go through some of that, and then we'll have some time for Q&A. Sound good? All right. So I mentioned my name is Chris Bortlick. I am a SharePoint technology specialist. I work for Microsoft. I'm in the Northeast District. I'm joined by Steve Feil, who's a solution architect within our consulting practice, and Isaac Stith, who's also a consultant in our Microsoft Consulting Services. So a couple of disclaimers here. Again, your mileage may vary. So this is an example strategy. Every company, your topology can be unique. And as Isaac often likes to put it, one size fits all really works best for hats. So again, we're going to go through some best practices, some lessons learned, but it's really based on a use case that we had with a customer. Hopefully there's a lot of general best practices we can generalize here. The other big thing to know is the scenario we're going to talk through is SharePoint 2013 with SharePoint 2010. There is no silver bullet if you're on 2001, 2003, 2007, and you want to have those farms consume SharePoint 2013 services. So again, we're going to talk through in the context of a 2010 farm consuming 2013 services. We also realize that Isaac's going to show some examples, largely things that are out of the box and things that the product does natively. There are some things where custom development may be beneficial. I think Isaac has an example of a feature that he's developed that can show a little bit above and beyond what you can do natively with 2010 and 2013. So again, depending on your use cases, you may find you want to do things with things like farm-level solutions that might require a bit of custom development. And again, we'll make that clear to you when we're doing things out of the box versus things that were custom. So when we're thinking about this session, we're trying to think about what problem are we trying to solve. So why would you do this? And the cases we think that people would want to do this would first be a case where you want to go with social first. So as you've seen, SharePoint 2013 has many new social capabilities. 2010, you know, we had the My Site, we had the activity feed, but it was pretty much a read-only view. A lot of our customers have wanted some of the interactive news feed capabilities you saw this morning. They've wanted some of the things like community sites, which I'll show in the demo. So really, that's one of the big drivers for customers looking at this scenario. The second case is often maybe you have one, two, three, many SharePoint 2010 farms with lots of content. So Mikhail did a nice demo during the keynote this morning showing how with 2013, we can basically let you build a new 2013 farm, attach your content databases, still run them in 2010 mode. But for some customers, you may not want to go through that. You may still want to leave your 2010 farm or farms in place. And really, the reason why you might do that is you may work in an industry or a company that is regulated. You might have some concerns around testing. And you may say, well, yeah, it's great that Microsoft says we can go ahead and do this, but you know, within my company, we have a 3-6 month process for testing and verifying new applications. You know, maybe we're not ready to roll out 2013 to the whole company, but maybe we want to start with social or search and then still have our existing farms remain in place. And also, when you have these multiple farms, you may want to still have a single user profile within the organization, and you might also want to have a single unified search experience. So anyone in the 2010 world do what we call a search-first migration, where you left your 2007 farms in place, and you crawled them with SharePoint 2010, and you started to expose it? Anyone do that pattern? No? Okay. We had a number of customers that followed that sort of a paradigm, where they said, you know, we want SharePoint 2010 search, we want fast search for SharePoint 2010, but we have content that's still in 2007, that we want to surface within 2010. So organizations that might be affected, we talked about this a bit already. If you have multiple farms, And again, you may not be able to upgrade all of them at the same time. You might have different time frames for doing that. You might have an industry or a company that's regulated. You may be more risk averse to just taking, you know, maybe 5 SharePoint farms and terabytes of content and moving them all over to 2013. And again, you might want to take advantage of the new social and search capabilities. So there are 5 different services that Steve will talk through. We're going to focus a lot of the session around social and search because, again, that's the typical use case we're hearing customers ask for because they're so different and improved in 2013. So what's the benefit of doing this? The first is we give you the ability by doing this to gradually migrate those legacy farms, your legacy being 2010 in this case. The second is, as I mentioned, you can have a single user profile and search experience. And another benefit is one of the services that can be shared is the managed metadata service. So you can have a common corporate metadata service that is being used across your 2010 and 2013 farms. So what are we losing? So this sounds great. You know, what's the catch, right? So one of the downsides of this approach, and again, Isaac will show you some examples in demo of 2010 and 2013 side by side, is that in SharePoint 2013, I think you saw in the demo this morning, we have the newsfeed. And things that the newsfeed can show are things like when people like or rate something, when people comment on something. Well, if you have a 2010 farm out of the box and someone happens to rate something with the old 2010 rating system, or they happen to do a social tag in the 2010 style social tagging, those ratings, those tags will not show up inside of the 2013 newsfeed out of the box. Your end users will also potentially have 2 different user experiences. And again, Isaac has an example of some ways you can mitigate this, but think about it. An end user could go to a 2013 farm, and then they could pivot over and see a 2010 farm. And again, you're not necessarily leveraging all the 2013 features in your 2010 farm. So these are a couple of examples of why customers are going social. A couple of the big things that I'm finding are customers that are doing innovation and ideation, kind of crowdsourcing around ideas. Companies that are looking for doing things with sharing. So SkyDrive Pro, although it's not really social computing, they're interested in this capability to have end-user-driven file sharing with kind of anywhere access and having that mobile experience. And it's also things like finding an expert, so classic kind of people search, expertise search. So the first steps when you're looking at this is really to realize that social is more than just the technology. Again, there are a lot of sessions this week going into social. We're not going to go through necessarily all of these best practices here. But realize that social is more than just a technology. It's your people, it's your process, it's your culture. And when you're thinking about rolling this out, think about not just the context of the technology, but also what business problem are you solving. You also need to think about things like governance, right? How many community sites do we create? What are your organizational dynamics? Is your company ready to embrace social? And then from our experience with best practices, and Isaac's going to show this, really it's best to start with a pilot, both from a technology perspective as well as from leveraging these new capabilities. And as you're doing that pilot, identify some best practices, some user champions, some early adopters, and celebrate and recognize those individuals to help build momentum for the program. So I'm going to do a quick demo here of some of the 2013 social capabilities. And then we'll flip back to a couple quick slides, and we'll go from there. So this, again, you saw a lot of this in the demo this morning. I'm not going to repeat a lot of what you saw. This is the 2013 newsfeed. We talked about this morning things like having the ability to preview a document. So actually having my page timed out, having the ability to actually see something that's there and be able to preview that document directly in line within the newsfeed. We were actually playing around yesterday with the SharePoint mobile app. So I took a picture of these 2 fine gentlemen posing with their Windows phone, and I went ahead and posted that for my mobile app, and I was able to have someone like Garth go in there and kind of like that, posting things to a private team site, as well as doing things like having a video that's actually, in this case, embedding a video directly from YouTube. So the demo in the keynote this morning showed a video that was inside of SharePoint. In this case, I just grabbed the URL from YouTube, pasted it into the newsfeed post, and then SharePoint knew how to display and render that and play that video back directly with inside of the browser. The other thing that we didn't really show much this morning, and again, is kind of a big driver here, is this concept of community sites. So SharePoint's had team sites and discussion boards. What we really haven't had is that ability to have real rich moderation around the community. The ability to have things like badges. So this concept of gamification, where I can go in there and I can post a question, mark it as a question, Others can reply to it. They can like it. And I, as the question asker or the moderator of the forum, can go ahead and rate something as the best reply. I can also go ahead and assign people badges. So you see Pavel here is flagged as an expert. So when Pavel replies to something, people looking at that response knows that he is a subject matter expert. You see Sarah has two boxes, and that's really because of the moderator of the community site assigning points. So if you post something to the community, you get a certain number of points. If you reply, you get a certain number of points. If your response is marked as a best response, you get more points. And again, that idea of building and driving adoption by having the ability to see these badges and having the ability to identify people as experts within the community. And part of the business value of that is that if I go ahead and do a search, then I can go ahead and say, you know what, I want to find all conversations within the company that are related to marketing presentations. As I do that, there's a new search scope with inside of SharePoint 2013 focusing at conversations. So I can see within here that there is this marketing topics going on. There are 9 members of that community, 9 different discussions with 16 replies. I can see that this particular conversation on the non-English market has 4 replies with one of them marked as the best reply. So very quickly, I can go in there and I can find not just conversations that are happening, I can find questions that already have answers, and I can find other subject matter experts that I may want to connect with as well. So that's a quick tour around the newsfeed. We also have the ability, as you saw in the keynote this morning, to follow people, sites, and tags. SkyDrive Pro, we showed a lot with the drag and drop capabilities. The key thing to know is that SkyDrive Pro, as was mentioned in the keynote, is really something that is stored as part of the user's personal site. So SkyDrive Pro is really backed by what was known as the My Site. So enabling the personal site enables you to have SkyDrive Pro. It also is what enables the newsfeed. So it's a new architecture for social in 2013, where the newsfeed is actually stored as part of the user's site collection in their personal site. And within the team sites, the newsfeed is stored as part of the team site. So those are reasons why some customers are looking at enabling the 2013-style newsfeeds and personal sites to get SkyDrive Pro and then exposing those capabilities through search. How are we doing, all right? All right, so kind of wrapping things up here in summary, the key features that are really driving some of this and part of the reasons why our customer was looking at this scenario was around having that newsfeed, the community sites, which add rating and tagging. For them, it was really big around SkyDrive Pro, exposing content through mobile. They have a bring-your-own-device policy, and they wanted to enable their end users to connect to SharePoint and consume content and participate socially through an iPhone, using the web applications on an Android device, using a Windows device. And those are really the key scenarios and part of the problem that we were trying to tackle with our customer. So with that, I'm going to turn things over to Steve, who's going to walk a bit through the architecture of the services and kind of what's supported. Steve?
Great. Thanks, Chris. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just walk through some of the service architecture, service applications in SharePoint 2013. So let's start off with service applications that are within the farm in SharePoint 2013. The service application architecture in SharePoint 2013 is basically the same as the service application architecture in 2010. We have made performance and reliability performances, and we've enhanced most of those services as well. So service applications can be consumed by web applications in your farm. This allows for you to design a flexible architecture that suits your needs for all your web applications. As you can see in this diagram, I have 5 web applications, and they're consuming similar services and different services based on what proxy group that they're connected to. This is really something that you can leverage and utilize throughout your entire deployment. So what are the key changes in the service applications? Well, like I said, the service applications are pretty much the same as SharePoint 2010, although the performance and the reliability has gone up. The Office web apps, which Chris demoed earlier with the PowerPoint in the newsfeed, is no longer a service application. We've made this, it's a standalone product that you deploy in a separate farm. What this can do is you can basically have visualization services for multiple SharePoint farms, and you can scale that accordingly. So you can have more back-end for Word services or Excel services. But along with publishing or displaying stuff in SharePoint 2013, you can also show things in Exchange and Link. And then Web Analytics is no longer a service application in 2013. What we've done is we've rolled this up under the Search Service application. And we've actually enhanced that quite a bit as well. So any questions so far? So we have a slide that kind of covers what you can do in a hybrid scenario, what service application can be kind of connected out to Office 365. It's just one slide. We just touch on it briefly. So as we move on, we just talked about web application or service applications that are within the farm. So now let's talk about service applications for cross-farm services. So in 2013, data sharing between the farms is done with WCF services. And as a result of that, the consuming farm, consuming the services from the publishing farm, no longer has to have permissions to the databases on the publishing farm, which is a pretty good thing. Isaac's actually going to show in detail how you set that up and why it's useful. So any farm can publish a service application. And also any farm can consume a service application. And you can actually have a farm that consumes and publishes both. This is really what it's doing is enabling you to have a true services farm in your enterprise. The list here are the service applications that we can, that are supported for cross-farm services. The ones that we're gonna touch on in the demo in our solution is basically the user profile and the search service application. And in this diagram, you can see that you have an enterprise farm, and it's consuming both remote services from the services farm and also local service applications. Question? So the My Site Host would be one of the web applications.
It depends on your architecture. If you want to talk to us afterwards, I'd be happy to run through the different options.
Great. So from there, well, we've got cross-farm services, but we also have, in our environment, we have cross-farm services, and we're also in a major version difference. So we have SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013. And what we've done is we've transitioned our services farm to 2013, and we're able to consume services from that services farm with SharePoint 2010. The other way is not supported. However, it may work, but support and not working are two different things. And then also we have the SharePoint 2010 farm consuming the local services and also the remote services on the SharePoint 2013 environment. Here's your slide for the hybrid scenario. So what we're showing here is all the service applications and kind of the support for service applications, cross-farm service applications in a wide area network environment. Search is supported both on-prem if it was another farm and also hybrid with Office 365. So you can connect this up to both. And when you do a query and you do get your query results, you'll actually see the difference, what's on-prem and what's actually in the cloud. The managed metadata service and the machine translation services are allowed for the WAN, as is business data connectivity. The user profile and the secure store service are not. Basically, the user profile has to have access to the local database, so we're not allowing that. And for the secure store, it's performance issues. So with that, my quick little tidbit about service applications. I'm going to hand it over to Isaac, and he's going to go over the customer scenario, and then he's going to go into the demo as well.
Thank you, Steve. If I could just get an idea first off, what's the experience in the room? Has anyone set up cross-farm services using 2010, either on your own or for the organization? Okay, we're going to walk through that once I talk a little bit about the customer scenario. So the customer is Contoso Tools. It's a multinational company with over 30,000 employees worldwide, and you probably have one of their tools in your garage. So for this customer, branding is just as important as functionality, and so the customizing their experience is, as some of our attendees know, very, very important, and so it helps that they have a centralized SharePoint farm currently. In addition, this customer just completed their SharePoint 2010 migration. They just put the effort in. They've already put the team assigned to the migration is already working on other projects. So to go ahead and engage in another upgrade or another migration is just not in the cards right now. But at the same time, while the IT is pushing back on the upgrade, they're also getting pressure from their users on how to implement the latest features, the latest and greatest, as soon as they can. As you can see with, you know, the use of Yammer and Box in the enterprise, and the CTO is trying to I guess, gain some control on the information flowing inside and outside the company. So the idea is to have a centralized search and have a centralized governance structure so they control the information and they can control the flow and share securely inside and outside of the company. Here's the idea. We're going to upgrade their services farm in the short term. And when we do that, we're going to start talking about what we're going to do in the long term. Look at their content farms, look at their structure, look at the data behind the solution and what we need to provide to them. And while we do that, we're going to implement a SharePoint search centrally that can reach out to all the different environments and provide one location for everything. I'm sure, I mean, has anyone here set up a centralized, you know, enterprise search engaged with, you know, farms all over? This goes back to your question about the hybrid scenario. You can federate search between on-prem and in the cloud, but there's actually a great session about from Brad Stevenson about the hybrid search if you want to get more in depth. So we want an upgraded services farm. We want the centralized services, and we want to have a managed metadata managed by the corporate with a corporate taxonomy. And we want to have personal sites and communities in the 2013 farm while also field testing, you know, the SkyDrive Pro for securely sharing and engaging with those, I guess, those customer solutions. So the first step is the proof of concept. The customer needs to, I guess, dedicate some the minimal set of hardware as feasible to start getting their experience with SharePoint 2013 and start getting engaged with the technology, I guess. The first task for them to start the proof of concept would be create an audience. And you can do this in the SharePoint 2010 farm. And the reason they would do this is that when a user member hits the My Site or hits the user profile application on the SharePoint 2010 farm that they're subscribed to, they're going to be redirected based on their audience to the 2013 farm if it's specified in the My Site, the trusted My Site host locations. So normal, you know, user Chris Johnson that we're going to see later, if he's not part of the POC, won't see SharePoint 2013. We're not going to add additional complexity. We're just going to try and keep the experience as vanilla until we reach the pilot or the production phase. And we're also going to start field testing the social features of SharePoint 2010 and make sure we see how the reception is with SkyDrive and some of the new features. Once we get some good experience with the POC, we're going to start extending it to a wider user base. For the organization and that we're talking about, it is about 1,000 users, but that's obviously dependent on the size of the organization that you work at or that you're doing the SharePoint work for. So now we have to create another audience for the pilot users, with the, for the greater audience, the greater user base that we're targeting. And then we want to start testing the migration of the My Sites from 2010 and the on-demand upgrade in 2013 to make sure when we do go to production that there are no issues and that it is as smooth as possible for the user. And when the customer's ready, we're going to put the pilot and transition it to a production environment. And really, the switchover is only changing the subscription settings on the 2010 farm. There's a very little downtime associated with cross-farm services, which makes an ideal approach when dealing with customers who are risk-averse or are already regretting or regretting their need to upgrade. So now users are all directed to the SharePoint 2013 farm. And now the governance is really, I guess, put into action. And users are really engaging with 2013 socially, on-prem, or in the cloud, depending on what you need. And then the current 2010 services farm, if it exists, will go into a legacy or sunsetting period and can be decommissioned or repurposed if you want to extend your dev environment. And in addition, the current POC environment will be, I guess, demoted to an app dev or a testing environment so they can, develop apps in the future. But then the important part here is that the development environment becomes a consumer of the 2013 services as well. So there's, another common look and feel and consistency across the enterprise, especially when it comes to profiles. And now the customer's in production. They've retired all of their 2010 servers in the services farm, and they've started planning for their content upgrades in the 2010 farm. So they can take this phased approach, which starts the process in the long term. And it satisfies the needs of the users while maintaining the need for the CTO to have control of the information in the short and long term. So I'm going to go ahead and start walking through the demo. And the first step here is to switch over to my demo machine. For those who have set up a farm, these instructions are pretty similar to what you see on TechNet, just a little bit of a different order. So if you have questions, feel free and come up to us afterwards or ask when we have some Q&A. But really, there's a lot of great documentation out there, and we'd definitely encourage you to go look at those before encountering doing this on your own. So on the 2010 farm, I need to get the farm ID so I can grant permissions to that farm. On the 2013 farm. So this script, run on in the 2010 environment, gets the local farm ID and stores it in a common location, which we can access in the 2013 environment. Now I'm switching over to the 2013 environment, which then takes the claim the farm ID specified and adds it to the security model for the application, the service application architecture. So now the 2010 farm has the permissions to discover services if not actually connect to them, which can be specified later. Going a little bit out of order, we then would export the certificates in the 2013 farm and place them in a common location so we can set up the trust between the two farms and so that the two farms can talk securely using what Steve talked about, the Windows Communication Foundation for the web services. Now jumping back to the 2010 environment, I need to do pretty much the same thing but expand that and actually get the secure tokens service certificate so the 2013 farm will trust the 2010 security model. So this PowerShell script grabs the references to both of the certificates on the farm, and it puts them in a common location, which can then be used to create a common trust. Now, I also have the 2013 farm's root certificate in this common location, which I'm going to import to the 2010 environment, so we can the root servers. So the communications between the servers are securely handled, so there's a trust, and there's no, if you don't do this, you'll see all sorts of issues in the UOS going forward. I'm gonna jump back to the 15 environment, where I take the root certificate, and I take the secure token certificate, and import them into SharePoint, and give that trust a name that is recognizable. A consuming publishing farm, you know, headquarters, remote, content, you know, publishing. It really depends on the organization and what your naming structure should be. And when I have this complete, now I've got the foundation to exchange information between the two farms, if not the actual security and permit and setup from the service application side. So going back to the 2010 box, I'm going to open up the managed service applications page. I'm going to see what the URL or what services have been published, if any, and then set them up for publishing cross-farm. You can see here that we have the search service application, and it's enabled to be published to the remote farm. And the most important part here is this URL. We need to copy this and bring this into the 2010 environment to set up the connection between the two farms for the services. It's what's required to discover and exchange information between 2010 and 2013. Well, I'm going to do this both for the user profile application and the search service application to set up that connection. And as you can see, I've already gone ahead and published the managed metadata service and the secure store service in the sake of time. So here I'm going to connect to the need to grab that URL again. I blame it on Dream Weaver. It seems to be the theme today. So again, I'm grabbing this URL. I'm bringing it over to my 2010 environment where I'm going to connect to the service application. Hey, success. And now the 2010 environment reaches out to the 2013 environment, queries with the service that's available, and makes sure that it has permissions to access that service. I'm going to go ahead and add this to the default proxy group. And I'm going to do the same thing for the user profile application. Now, if I don't do this, if I don't have this set up, or if I'm not subscribing to user profile service or a search service, for instance, the My Site context will not appear to the users, and they won't know where to go if you don't already have something in place. So, user profile. This one's also published. I'm going to grab this URL. Head over to the other screen where I'm going to connect to the service application, ideally. All right, give this one more try. There we go. Again, this is going to do another discovery. I'm going to go ahead and add this to the default proxy group. And now I have a connection between the farms. And now the two farms are talking to each other and exchanging this data. Some things you may see is that it will update user information on your current sites, the timer jobs that run, that pull the data from the 2013 farm or whatever farm is hosting your services to refresh the data on a periodic basis. I'm going to go ahead and jump over to my user experience running under Chris Johnson. So I have a normal SharePoint 2010 team site, which is now consuming services from the 2013 environment. When I go to my My site, I'm going to be redirected to the 2013 environment, and I'm going to see my news feed. I'm going to see my sites, my communities, my tags, the entire experience that you have at 2013 without really changing the experience by the user. If you change the user profile application that you subscribe to from one that's in 2010 to 2013 to the user, they just got access to a new site with a new look and feel. And that staged approach is really what we're going for to make things as painless as possible. I'm going to head back here to the root, the team site here. In addition, now that we're subscribing to the 2013 search service, I can, and it's crawling the 2010 environment, I can do a search like for Contoso and get the same search results that come in the 2013 environment in my 2010 farm. And while that's loading up, you can see that I can also have my own search center. I can have my own customizations based on that search if it's matching a different look and feel and we're not ready to upgrade. That the search can remain as it is, and you can subscribe to multiple search applications that you need to get that content from multiple places. So on the other screen, I have the wonderful search results. And as Chris Johnson, moving on. There we go. I've got some feeds locally. Never mind, I've got feeds from the 2013 environment. I might need to refresh the cache here. Regardless, you can get the 2013 experience and content from locally, or you can redirect your users to a 2013 search center if you want to specify that application. You have options in the My Site host settings to tell the user where you want to go in most web applications. So the thing is, to really help the user, I guess, is you want to enhance the look and feel. You want to enhance the experience. You want to make things easy. And so one simple thing that helps the users is a consistent look and feel. So with a little bit of coding and just a simple SharePoint 2010 feature, you can bring some of the magic of 2013 into 2010. I have a feature that just as a social add-in, which basically comes back here and presents the 2010 look and feel. Presents the 2013 look and feel in your 2010 environment. And with a little bit of additional, work, it could help seamlessly integrate some of your environments into one cohesive structure. And there are also additional capabilities. You can embed Office web apps documents if you don't want to constantly send people to 2013. You may not have the news feed, but if you want to put if you want to pull that RESTful XML, it's a possibility. Making that work for your users, I guess, is really the priority. And So that's all I have for the demo right now. I'm going to go ahead and switch back here.
Any questions? Because I don't know if that was a lot really, really quick, right? Any questions while we're kind of in the demo environment?
Yeah.
Please.
All keywords are in the 2013.
The default keywords?
Sorry, the question?
The default keywords? Are in the 2013
farm. Oh, for the taxonomy?
It's part of the managed metadata service.
Right, right. So, switching back here, the experience for 2013 and 2010 is almost, if you look at it, they've changed the layout just a little bit. So if we go back to the service applications, I'm in 2010 here. If I want to manage the
managed metadata
here, you're going to see your normal term store management. And if I do this in 2013, it's going to look eerily familiar.
So in this case, 2010 is consuming the same 2013 metadata service. User experience looks similar, and the keywords that are being exposed from a enterprise tagging as well as the social tagging are the same across the enterprise?
Well, it can be a one-to-many relationship, which is where I think you're going. You can consume multiple managed metadata services. If you have, for instance, a content farm that may be organization-specific, they can have their own managed metadata, which they can, I guess, run them up with. Right, so that, you know, it depends on the organization. If I were me, I would recommend that the default keywords be in the 2013 environment.
Exactly.
Recommendations, not, you know, your mileage may vary.
So when I connect to 2013,
So the question is, if connecting to 2013 from 2010, would you get all the fast features? Not really. So all the features that you're pulling in are enterprise search specific. Now, if you want to send users to the 2013 environment, you will get those the majority of those fast features, obviously, because 2013 has incorporated a lot of the search infrastructure. And there's a lot of great search sessions which can be seen that are doing deep dives. I know there's a couple earlier today.
So the question was about search services, or basically will you when you connect to the 2013 farm, will you get the fast features? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So because in 2013, we've actually combined search, the best of search in SharePoint and fast search, so it's now one search engine. So when you do connect them, you are going to get the fast experience in the 2010 environment, the result set. You may not get all the look and feel of it in the result set, but that is coming from the fast index. I think I mentioned on one of my slides that cross-farm services, the one service that you couldn't consume was Fast Search for SharePoint. So that's where you had the disconnect of Fast Search for SharePoint not being consumed in the 2010 farm. That part doesn't work. If you're leveraging the search from the 2013 environment, or
2010.
Right, but you're consuming the search service application from the 2013 environment, so you're going to have to follow the rules of the 2013. You're not going to have that functionality.
Because 2013 doesn't have search scopes anymore. It's replaced by result sources and other things. So it's a different architecture, if you would. So the results that are coming back should still be XML that the client can understand, but 2010 understands a certain structure in 2013. Provides a different sort of result sets back, right?
Another question in your scenario, if you get a user profile scenario,
So UPRE is targeting a different demographic. So the way the scenario is in phase three, when you still have the two services farm. You have your 2010 services farm, which is a separate UPA, a user profile service application, and you have your 2013 user profile service application. That's two separate syncs running, both with connections to AD. UPRE is more intended for, remote distribution or connections. So if I had a European farm and a Washington, D.C. farm, I would want to, if I was doing the sync in D.C., I could then replicate those results to the European farm without having multiple syncs. And it is possible, what I think the question is, to consume, you don't have to consume the 2013 user profile service application until absolutely necessary. So you can keep users going to the 2010 until you're ready to switch over using the audiences and the targeted the trusted MySites host with targeted audiences. So you would merely create an audience and say, hey, I want users from this, this floor, or, if you create a domain group that says early adopters, and, you make members of early adopters part of this POC audience, and you add a trusted MySite host location that says, personalsites.yourorganization.com, that, or personal site beta, it would redirect the users to that other environment while leaving the normal experience intact for the rest of your domain users. It depends on the organization. So in 2010, there's a lot of, profile editing on, on the my site, on the personal site. If that change is replicated to Active Directory, it will synchronize. Because really, you want Active Directory to be the authoritative source for user information. If you're pulling in information from other, LDAP sources or other business systems, it depends on how you set that up. You could run two separate syncs from the LB or from LDAP. Does that answer your question? Sort of. If you want to, come and talk to us afterwards, we'd be more than happy to answer your question if we can. Any more?
Yeah, the other thing, I don't know if it was clear, too, is when Steve was talking, there are those five services that can be consumed by 2010 from 2013, but you don't have to do all of them, obviously. So you can pick and choose in phase. So I know Isaac showed an example where we're doing everything at once, but certainly you could start with one and then add another and add another. You don't need to go ahead and just flip all five of them over.
Yeah. Sure.
What would happen with existing tags, like existing content that has been tagged in 2010 using the 2010 social tagging database? As soon as we switch back or switch forward to the new service application, we lose all the tags?
Good question, because in 2010, the tags are stored in the social database, right?
Yeah.
That social database isn't being replaced, right, in the new architecture. So my assumption, and again, I haven't validated it, we would consume the 2013 tags. We would tag them. 2010 is still storing them in the social database, right, because we're not changing how 2010 does its tagging and rating.
Right.
It's still local. So 2010 is still storing a local copy of the tag. It's still doing it the way that it does it. Remember, the caveat I mentioned was that any tagging that you do within 2010 does not show up in the 2013 newsfeed unless you do something custom to maybe push the activity in using the API to push it into the newsfeed if you wanted to have it show up. But I don't think that it would be affected unless the tags that were being used were somehow not available in the new 2013 service, in which case I don't think we're going to proactively go in and delete them from the social DB.
Right, but what if they're going to the sunset phase and they're going to remove their services farm, and then those databases are going to go away? I think in that case, you would either have to extend the use of UPRE in an unsupported fashion, which I won't recommend. Or you could upgrade your MySite host location, take the databases that you do have, and when you create that, you could use those databases as the ones in 2013 and upgrade them as part of that process, that the POC process. I have not tested that. It's it's an interesting scenario that I do want to test
now.
You don't
want to think about it, right? Because if you think about it, if you have people that are creating community sites or team sites in 2013, and they're doing social activity there, you probably don't want to, when you're done with 2010, take that content database and use that as a source of upgrading the service in 2013, because my assumption would be that you're going to trash what you already have over there. We did something similar to this scenario within Microsoft. The way we actually did our upgrade and migration is and it's still in process, we set up Office 365 for our company where we all wanted to have our new personal sites with SkyDrive Pro and Social. We enabled a number of community sites, and we enabled search. We've left our 2010 farms largely in place. So we still have our 2010 intranet. We still have our 2010 collaboration sites and team sites. And there is a bit of a learning curve, right, for me as an end user to know when I'm working in a 2010 farm versus my 2013 farm. As far as I know, we're not, as we're moving content up, actively thinking about migrating that social data with it. We're taking the content databases and on a content database by content database basis, attaching them and bringing them up. Obviously in Office 365, we're doing it through migration tools and scripts. In the on-premises world, you would take the 2010 content database, attach it to your 2013 farm, and then upgrade the database, and as Mikhail showed, selectively on a site collection by site collection basis, go ahead and change the user experience to be that. But it's a good question. I'm wondering, a lot of our migration tool partners, the Quest, the Metalogics, the AvePoints, et cetera, they've built a number of migration tools, I know, focused on the content perspective. Yeah. It would be interesting to see if any of them have looked at the social data, right, to say, hey, well, we're not just bringing over the content, but we're bringing over the metadata, both from an enterprise metadata perspective, but also the social tagging.
Yeah.
So that's a long way of saying I don't know the answer, but I'd be curious to find out.
Definitely.
Want to take the rep?
Yeah, go for it.
Any other questions?
We got one more back there.
Question back there?
That was a pretty little, so the question was, in 2010, the user profile application does a little communication with the SharePoint databases directly. And if you saw on Steve's slide, there's a little asterisk by user profile application. Yes, it still does that. It still talks directly. In fact, the user profile application in 2010 and 2013 are very similar, and they may or may not be the same build number. I imagine that reference has to be, you know, I would have to look further into it, and if you want to, I mean, we could dive deep into the answer afterwards, but I think that that reference would probably be passed as part of the service. I have a colleague who knows a lot more about it. If you wanted me to put you in touch with him, he might have the right answer. I don't want to give you the wrong answer.
Good questions. Yeah. So we're going to be here for a bit. We have, you know, some additional kind of wrap-up content we wanted to kind of go through here, but honestly, it's a pretty deep topic. I know Isaac went through it very quickly. The good thing is that the examples that he walked through, as he mentioned, are all examples that are largely from TechNet. I know the feature that he built was something that was custom. We're going to work on, obviously, you all have access to the slides, and we have some links coming up. But rather than us reviewing, hopefully it was a good decision on our part, rather than going through line by line the PowerShell scripts that we're going to go ahead and give you, which we can certainly go back through if folks have interest in that, we wanted to focus more on kind of the concept, and we're going to give you the links to the resources. So the key things that we covered is hopefully we made it clear on why you may want to consider using cross-farm services between 2010 and 2013. Obviously, there are some trade-offs that come into that, some things that you might be gaining, also some things that you may be giving up while you're on your migration journey. We gave you a bit of a primer on SharePoint 2013 social. There are a number of social sessions that will go in much more depth on the news feed, on social tagging, on the community sites, on the mobile apps, et cetera. So again, we didn't want to go too deep just on the functional stuff. We're happy to drill into that. We talked about cross-farm services, in particular cross-version. So Steve talked a lot about cross-farm services and how they work in general in a 2013 mode, including online and on-premises. He also talked about how it works going back and forth between 2013 and 2010. The big thing that I just want to stress that Isaac mentioned, because I've had it come up with a few customers and partners, is that in testing, some people have found that, yes, you know, 2013 can't consume 2010 services, but just because you can doesn't mean you should. And if you call Microsoft support, it's technically stated as being an unsupported model. So again, just because you can doesn't always mean you should. So take that with a grain of salt. So I know we've seen a lot of people asking about it. They've said, I tested it in my sandbox and everything looks great. But, you know, really the model is 2010 consuming 2013. We talked through a customer example in pretty good depth on what they were trying to accomplish and how we accomplished it. And then Isaac went through a good example, I think, on a 2010 farm and a 2013 farm, kind of going through and publishing those services in 2013 and then consuming them inside of 2010. So a number of different resources that we leveraged while we were going through and building this out. I think the top four are the key ones that Isaac leveraged as part of the demonstration. So the first one goes to really, how do share service apps across farms? So basically, how does 2013 publish services that other services can consume? How do you exchange the trust certificates between farms, right? So how do you trust a 2010 farm to consume a 2013 service? How do you just let 2013 farms consume each other's services? How do you publish and consume those certs? How do you set the permissions? And again, you guys are gonna get these slides. We try to use tiny URLs. I see a lot of folks writing them down. Hopefully it's an easy way of grabbing these, but basically how do you set the permissions? So once those service apps are published, how do you set the permissions between them? And then really, how do you connect the service apps across remote farms? There's also this link to talking about the supported cross-farm services and a bit more description beyond what Steve, Isaac, and I described. And the last link is something that I pulled together. So how many of you are working with SharePoint 2013 today? Most of you? Is it anyone in production with 2013 yet? One of you, really? How large, if you don't mind me asking, how large is the implementation? 42 servers. Wow, how many farms?
Five
farms. Are you using a shared services farm?
Yeah.
So four primary farms and a services farm? for search? And are you doing any of this hybrid, or did you go all 2013? Okay, interesting. So we've got a top customer, one of the early adopter customers that's actually up over 40 servers in 2013. Most of you are still in kind of a test mode, kicking the tires. Any of you spin up an Office 2013 online tenant in Office 365? None of you? One of you? So one of the things that you should know is if you have an Office 2013 tenant online and you provisioned it back in July before we kind of RTM'd, if you go now and recreate your tenant, or if you've done it within the last 2 weeks, you're actually going to get a, I don't want to call it RTM because the service is not live, but you're going to get a newer version of your tenant compared to what you might have done when you created it in July. So the demonstration environment that I was using was a tenant that I reprovisioned about 2 weeks ago. So all of the demos that are being done, anytime you see one of us doing a 365 demo, we're running RTM-ish because the service is being updated much more often, as Jeff mentioned, than the online, on the on-premises version. But that's running the latest and greatest bits in the service. So you can provision a new 365 service. So some of the things that you might want to test, as I think Todd was asking earlier about online and on-premises kind of hybrid scenarios, those are some of the things that really kind of became tighter around the RTM timeframe. So if you try to do some of that pre-RTM, you might have found some challenges. So this blog post that I summarized here, I pulled together where you can go ahead and provision an Office 365 tenant, where you can get the server bits, but I also pulled together resources for developers and IT pros. So Steve, Isaac, and I were fortunate enough to go through something called Ignite with inside of Microsoft over the past 7 or 8 months. And what happened was a lot of those training modules and labs that we did for IT pros and developers got packaged up. And we put the IT pro resources on TechNet, we put the development resources on MSDN. So there's probably 15 different developer modules, 15 different IT pro modules that go into a variety of different sessions, slides, demos, and I believe in some cases some of the hands-on labs have been published. So I tried to aggregate those into this single post that's here. So Mark Stone earlier today did a session on enterprise social, which was kind of the 200 level overview of all of the capabilities, so beyond what you saw in the keynote. He also went into some of the vision for social going forward. So I would encourage you, if you missed that session, you're all going to have access to these sessions, I think, for 3 months post-SPC, to go back and watch that. There's also a session tomorrow, and I think that Isaac mentioned this earlier, Brad Stevenson, who I believe is in the search engineering team. I know we had access to him during our TAP experience, and Steve Peschka, who many of you probably know from MCS. He does a great blog, a lot around claims, some other really interesting topics. So Brad and Steve are doing a session tomorrow, which actually talk about SharePoint 2013 on-premises and online. So the question that Todd had earlier about how you actually set up a hybrid, in particular the search scenario, which again is something that is new. Basically, the idea there is that you have SharePoint 2013 online has a search instance, SharePoint 2013 on-premises has a search instance, and we're using federated search between the two. So we're not actually allowing 2013 online to crawl 2013 on-premises. We're not letting 2013 on-premises crawl 2013 online. But basically, we're allowing both of those content sources to crawl independently, and then using Search Federation and the new result sources to actually blend those results. So inside of Microsoft, we're doing this again today. A lot of our collaboration farms, our personal sites, our team sites, are up inside of Office 365. And then on-premises is where we have a lot of our 2010 farms, and we have a single search instance on-premises that's running 2013. And from our environment, we can toggle back and forth online and on-premises and view all of our content through a single search experience.
There's also another service application topic earlier today from a couple of MVPs, Todd Clint and Shane Young. If you're a stranger to service applications, it's a great, they're great trainers, and it's a great primer to getting into the deep details of SharePoint 2013 service applications. I definitely recommend that one as well.
So here's our contact info. Again, we're happy to stay up here for some more questions. Again, we realize that it's the last session of the day. You've had a busy first day. There's a lot of content that we covered. Happy to take some more questions that folks might have on any of the topics we covered, anything that you felt like we went too quick that we glossed through. We do appreciate and ask, submit your evals, your surveys. We appreciate the feedback. Hopefully this was a helpful session. Again, we're going to give you not just the slides, but obviously through the MSDN and TechNet articles, the resources we've linked to, access to all these scripts. I think Isaac is going to work on also taking that custom example of the feature maybe and putting that out there. So I'd encourage you, if you're not already, to follow Mr. Isaac, follow Steve, follow myself. on Twitter. We'll be putting more information out through Twitter and our blogs over the next few weeks as we do that. And with that, happy to take additional questions. Happy to give you back a few minutes if you want to get an early start on your evening activities in Vegas. And we do appreciate you coming out with us this afternoon, so thank you.